It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports time out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yo, hello. Welcome to My Michelle Live. We are a sports show, part of My Michelle Live, that looks at some of the sports stories of the week. And we always get to a message of hope. Whatever My Michelle Live broadcast, you are looking at what we call the God story. It's a message of hope. Let me introduce you guys to these guys for sports today. And we're going to start with the faceless Wookiee. I don't know. Guy is our tech guy for My Michelle Live, but he can't seem to get his own camera working. I don't know what's up with that.
Rookie of the year, Josh McMillan.
The cobbler's kids have no shoes. I'm too busy fixing everyone else's tech issues that and taking care of the baby to fix my own.
I resemble that remark.
Yes, you do.
I'm not going to lie. We haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. He's been busy dissing us, but we love him anyway. He is an author, a photographer. Well, you know him, Brent R. Baker.
Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
Yes. And we have with us the encyclopedia of all sports. Now, this guy, yeah, he knows it because he has been a veteran sports reporter since, I don't know, the first baseball might have been hit. Who knows? But he knows what he's talking about, and he's part of our team. Rich.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The encyclopedia.
And then we have the guy who wrote the book on being the athlete in the game of life, the man of steel, Matt Peel.
The man of steel.
I am the knowledge and strength of 10,000 worlds, and flesh and machine. I am becoming everything.
That's a proper introduction.
The man of steel.
There you go. That's your cast of characters today. They say it's a national pastime. Baseball guys, the LA Dodgers, they are the betting favorites in the Major League Baseball 2021 World Series odds. The Dodgers are like plus 350 favorites. They may be the first team to go back to back since the Yankees won three in a row, like 1998, Rich, to 2000.
Yep.
Okay,
and
so
they're gonna have to.
I gotta step away for a second. I'm having a bird thing. They're flying everywhere in my office, so I'm going on mute. I'll talk to you guys in a bit.
What the birds the fly? Wow.
Dodgers.
This is where we need a camera. What the heck?
Dodgers gonna have to do a little work. They got behind the Atlanta Braves, and the Atlanta Braves have now going home with a 3-2 series advantage. Chris Taylor, a whole bunch of home runs last night for the Dodgers. Dodgers trying to pull it out once again, like they did against the Braves last season. Yes, Mariner fans, Chris Taylor was at one time a Mariner.
We got some work to do, though. You know, our bats have been silent. Pitching has been shaky at best. But even last night, old Albert Pujols there went 2-for-4 with two runs. But it's no easy task to go on the road now to try to win two in a row, game 6 and 7.
The Dodgers are a tough out, though. They've shown the last couple of years. I think they've won 7 straight elimination games
in the last two.
And that's in that period of time, pretty unprecedented. So the Braves better be ready to rumble. I think one of the things with the Dodgers, though, I think Dave Roberts has gotten a little too cute with his pitching staff.
Agreed.
And especially the use of Urias. They're bringing in a relief kind of randomly at different times where I think especially
he's broken
when
down. He's tired.
He's tired. And they didn't do a whole lot of that during the regular season with some of these guys. And while, I mean, I get the, you know, using Scherzer in the ninth inning the other night, I mean, sometimes you have those Randy Johnson moments where you just put your best guy out there to hang on in the deciding game. I think he's gotten too cute, and now they're in a situation. I mean, when they had to start Joe Kelly last night, it's kind of like,
Yeah.
Look what you've gotten yourself into. And it worked out, but But man, well,
they really didn't work out. I mean, Joe Kelly serves up two runs, and then he's got a strained whatever esophagus or something like that. No one really knows what actually came out, and then he has to come out of the game.
Well, if there's one person who's going to strain his esophagus in a baseball game, it's probably Joe Kelly.
It might be Joe Kelly. You never know.
Hey, Josh, how's your bird situation?
We got them under control. They are back in the cage now. They were kind of decided to fly around and get themselves stuck in weird places. So that's under control. In terms of the pitching, I agree and I disagree, because I think that they are getting a little too cute. But at the same time, a little bit of this is out of necessity. Because remember, last year they were pitching way fewer innings. I think the average starter did something like 70 innings or something like that last year with the reduced season, and this year the average is 170. So, and a lot of these, you know, some of the younger guys especially that haven't done that before, and guys after having a lower year like ramping back up, I think a lot of the arms are just tired anyway. And so you have managers out there trying to think, okay, what can I even do to get a fresh arm out there on the field that's going to give me a couple innings?
All right.
Agreed on both sides. But you can definitely tell baseball's changed. You're right, Josh. We got these guys. Let's try and start an inning so you can give the normal starter, I don't know what he's get first inning jitters or something like that. And so now you're going to try and stretch him into the second through fifth or sixth. Obviously, I'm not a manager. I don't get paid the big bucks for this kind of stuff. But It's a new philosophy overall, I think, in baseball, the playoffs just rolling like this.
Yeah, I mean, and it is changing a lot. I mean, look, in the Mariners season, did you hear the announcers talk about closers almost at all? You know, because we didn't have a closer. We had, I mean, Steckenrider was the closest thing we had, but what Jerry DePoto did is he played the best person in the best position, and that's why I think he should get, you know, manager of the year, because he managed the heck out of that bullpen. He put the best guys in the position to succeed. I mean, because you look at, like, even Kendall Graveman, when he was here, he had an ERA under one, and he still was really good the rest of the year. He still had an ERA under three when he moved over to the Astros, but they were using people in more traditional spots. You know, they put him, whoever's up there, you're going up there as the setup man for the closer. Whereas here, Scott Service was putting them like, all right, what's the matchup that's best for you? What's the matchup that we can get the most success for you? And it worked wonders with a bullpen of guys that, you know, how many of these names did you know before this year?
You know, yeah, what I like?
Even on the field. Even on the field, it's that same way.
Do you know?
Yeah, I agree with some of that, but at the same time, if looking back to Seattle when they were having to go with these bullpen starts, they were spectacularly unsuccessful. Going back to like starting Joe Kelly in a win or go home kind of game, and I said it worked out because they won, not because it went well for him. It, you know, they didn't get in a 10-run hole, but I do think, as you look at what Dave Roberts has done with the pitching staff management, I think it's gotten them to a position where they're in this hole. And now it's, you know, every night's win or go home. Granted, maybe that's where they want to be, the way the Dodgers have played the last couple of years.
I agree with you, Brent. I agree.
Okay, so let's look over at the American League. Houston is leading that series over Boston, 3-2.
Boston's going to blow it.
What's it going to look like in the series, guys? What's your predictions?
I'm still going to go with the Dodgers. The Atlanta's going to blow it again, and I just say that Boston's going to blow it again. They can't. Houston will find a way.
All right.
Houston is always strong. They're at home.
I'm going to go against you on both counts because I like the underdog. I think, what a story would it be if Atlanta came out here, getting past the Giants, getting past the Dodgers, these teams that were just monsters that you're expected to get there, and they get past that. I mean, the fact that they're where they are is impressive. I would love to see, the Red Sox and Atlanta.
Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
Braves.
Brain fart. Thank you.
then Rich, if you did that, then Rich, you'd have if we're talking from when Rich first hit the very first baseball that was ever invented, you would have the Boston Red Sox against the former Boston Braves, right?
What was the first World Series? Were the Pirates And
I think it was the Babylonians against
versus the cavemen. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's throw another ball out and talk a little bit about football. I did not know this story, and I'm going to share a little bit of the soundbite on this. Rich, you sent this over. Jacksonville Jaguars Dwayne Smoot helped his wife deliver a baby. Did you guys hear about this? Do you want to hear some of their own story? Check this out.
Go for it.
And I have a really big, strong contraction. Oh, and I grab onto the lawn and my knees basically buckle. And my body is telling me to push. And so I pushed and her head popped out.
Yeah. And right then when she did collapse on me, I put my hand underneath and I felt her head, and no more than 10 seconds later, like, her whole body just came shooting out.
Oh my gosh. What? So, you go.
Projectile.
Receiver.
Projectile birth.
That was such a crazy story. Wow. You could see the joy on their face. Josh, you last in this year, your wife had a baby. Could you imagine that?
No.
Okay. So moving right along.
Imagining what already happened. So no.
Yeah, but that's not the big.
How about you, Michelle? Let's put it, take it from your perspective.
Heck yeah. I helped. Let me just tell you, my best friend since age 6 had a paradisium birth in her dining room. That a paradisium birth is a fast, hard, ouch birth. From first signs of labor to delivery was 30 minutes, and I was there for her. So you bring it on. I have my catcher's mitt. I'm ready to go.
Right. There you go.
There you go. That's not the biggest story, though, for this team right here in football, because we've got a big game Monday Night Football. That's right. We are looking at a face-off right this week, but between some of us here. Now, this is really tough because I know there's a lot of Seahawks fans on this round table, but then we've got our Matt Peel, Man of Steel, Saints fan living right there in the New Orleans, Louisiana area. And then you got me, who's love for the Seahawks and love for my home birth town of New Orleans has me, you know, kind of, oh, wow, this is a tough one. So let's take it on, folks.
Well, Saints definitely have the better team right now. If you look at what has transpired so far, this is a chance for Seattle to get right and get right on Monday Night Football. Pete Carroll in primetime, it's been a great thing in the past. Seahawks need to get right.
Okay, yeah, Seattle is 2-4. There's no Russ. There's no Chris Carson as a running back. The Saints are coming in 3-2, if I'm right, Matt, and they're coming off a week 6 bye. Do you know, if I remember right, and I will need you to confirm this with me, Rich, I think it was 2019, if I remember right, that the Saints played us, or the Seattle Seahawks, here in Seattle. And they had just lost their quarterback, Drew Brees, and still were victorious over the Hawks, like 33-27.
Yes, that's correct.
Whew, okay. Yep,
correct. We lost Drew Brees to the thumb injury against the Rams. And then instead of trying to fly back, we just flew right up to Seattle for that next week. And that was the Alvin Kamara game. It was, you know, Teddy Bridgewater did okay, but that was the Alvin Kamara game.
So it's the wounded thumb versus the wounded middle finger. I won't show it.
So is Alvin going to be back this week?
Yeah, Alvin hasn't been hurt. He's good to go. Everybody's good to go. The offensive line should be good to go. Who are we missing? Taysom Hill still is, I think, in concussion protocol.
Oh dear.
So we'll see about that. Right?
He's a big left part. The team yet?
Taysom? Oh no, no, he does. Taysom does what Taysom does.
Yeah, and I just know he was really disgruntled when they said they're going with Jameis Winston. It at QB there. He was really upset about that. I think he's a great player. I think you got, like, I hope he stays with New Orleans. But
hey, Josh, what's going to happen this week? And do you think we talked about this after the camera stopped rolling last week, that maybe we need to have a friendly little wager between our Seattle correspondents and our New Orleans correspondent there, Josh?
I mean, I think this week what you're going to see is running the ball. Then you're going to see some running the ball. You might see a little bit of running the ball, and you're probably going to see some running the ball.
Yeah, but will they run the ball? The field
here. As long as it's not Geno Smith running the ball.
He was running the ball.
We all say.
Please no. Last week, Russell Wilson being out, Geno Smith being there, the first half, the Seahawks didn't look good. The offense wasn't really functioning. They're trying to throw the ball. And I think Pete Carroll got mad. He was like, you know what, this isn't my brand of football. I'm okay with throwing the ball when we have a top quarterback out there, but we're going back to my brand of football. And that's what they did. They went back to run the ball, and look, they put up 20 points in the second half. And it's like I've been saying, you know, the defense has not been good, but they looked a lot better in the second half of that game, where they gave up 6 points, I think, in the second half, and then another field goal that was really not even their fault to lose the game in overtime.
Okay, maybe, but I think that you're trying to find the silver lining.
Wait. It's the time of possession. Running the ball completes the circle of toughness that Pete will preach about. When they had a better time of possession, because they're running the ball, they're keeping the defense off the field, they're getting those conversions, that's what allows you to have a better defense. They're not going to have a good defense if they're gassed because your team goes out there and three plays is either three and done or in the end zone. So I think teams are going to see a similar thing here today, where they're going to be a lot of running. It's going to be a tough smash mouth game. And, you know, it's going to be interesting.
I think it'll be an interesting game. I'll give that to
and
you.
And Rashad Penny probably will.
So here's wishing you, Seattle, maybe a little better weekend. We will see. Any other thoughts and any wagers that you guys may want to post? Because I have some ideas. I found a mask online. It's a Seahawk mask. It's really cool looking. And I'm thinking if Seahawks win, we might have to have that sent down to our Man of Steel, Matt Peel, and he'll have to wear it for the next broadcast. I'm just saying. Just a thought.
I'll accept that.
It was either that or you borrow my Seahawks cheerleading outfit.
If the Seahawks lose, then Michelle has to wear a hat from a team that likes to cheat at baseball.
Oh, come on. awkward moment. Awkward moment.
I'm already wearing that. But Josh, to finish out your thought, you're right. Josh, it'll be a lot of running the ball and then Winston launching a 65-yard bomb. That's kind of how we do it. We run,
and we'll see where that goes, right? Like when he throws the ball, who knows if it's going to go to the? It's either going to be an amazing play or awful. You know, like the season that year a couple years ago, we had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions.
It's just funny how you say that, because Rich and I were talking before the show here, and so Winston's got 12 touchdowns this year and 3 interceptions.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better this year. Hopefully the laser eye surgery has corrected the issue.
Finally. You know, he didn't have enough money for it at first. Remember,
that's
only
what it was.
$25 million a year. So he needed that finance plan. He could only get like a half of one and then 3/4 of the other side. But now he can buy them all.
That's glorious. You see, that's how it works there. There's been some other interesting things in football. Congress is seeking some documents and information into that investigation with the Washington football team.
Nothing will come of this. This is political grandstanding. This is two individual congressmen wanting to act like they're actually doing something. And do you really want Congress involved in professional sports?
I don't want Congress involved in my health. I don't want Congress involved. In fact, I'm not even sure sometimes I want Congress involved in the affairs of the United States of America. I mean, so any way we can reduce their influence, I am absolutely fine. I think that plays into another story that's coming out of football from Washington State up there in the corner. Here we are of the United States, where the Washington State Cougars fired their football coach for refusing to get vaccinated. And this coach was literally escorted off of the property by guards like he was a criminal this week. He applied for a religious exemption that was denied. Sorry about that. And he will apparently sue over the firing.
Well, it seems overall, you know, if that this is not a optional anymore. And the Department of Labor has backed up the fact that employers can mandate it. So you can not want it, which is fine, but now you're rolling the dice of, well, you're not going to have a job anymore.
I don't know in coming years how it's going to weigh out because Coach is taking this to court. He's suing. When we do have millions of Americans who have a natural immunity now, which is proving out to be better than some of the protection from the vaccine. Let's just, for argument's sake, both may be important as we move forward, but to ignore one and to demonize people, wow, this is getting really serious, Josh.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the political climate in this country has gotten to a fever pitch and it's ridiculous. I mean, everything, it doesn't matter what it is though. If you disagree about anything, people are going to be mad about it because the issue is we've made politics our religion in a lot of ways. The politics have become the be-all end-all of who we are in our existence.
And yeah, it's like
so
a jihad.
Have any ability to reconcile that out anymore.
It's not just in the COVID realm. There are a couple other stories. The Chinese media, for example, had removed Celtics games after Enes Kanter gave this free Tibet statement. Yeah. That's one story. Another interesting, and it was free Tibet. He not only had a 2-minute video of himself talking about support for Tibet, he wore shoes that said free Tibet. Katie Couric came out. You know her as the NBC Today show host. She revealed in her new memoir that she chose to edit and not air some of the comments made by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg involving NFL players like Kaepernick who were kneeling at the national anthem. Bert Ginsburg didn't like that, didn't think highly of that, but she edited that out because she thought, well, not only does that make her look bad, but she later said maybe she was just old and she didn't understand the question. Oh my gosh, she's old, she doesn't get the question, but she's sitting on the flipping Supreme Court. These three examples are examples of how we are shutting out, denying information.
Denied.
And we're all the worse for it, guys. And I want to take this opportunity to make it our face-off subject of the day.
The face-off.
Okay, guys, so how is the shutting down, the canceling, the denying of viewpoints, information, facts, other opinions, professional opinions, how is that affecting all of us, and why does it have to be such a big deal in sports?
I was just going to bring up the Enes Kanter and China thing with the NBA, because what we see with, I mean, the reaction of the Chinese, I'll say the Chinese government, although, you know, their media and everything is hand in hand with them. The reaction to just immediately, like even mid-broadcast, erase the Boston Celtics from the Chinese consciousness, basically. What frightens me about that is what I've seen happening in our country. And it's one thing to say, oh, the Chinese communists, they're doing this sort of thing. But when you see the same sorts of things happening in our country where somebody brings up an opinion that doesn't align with whatever the majority opinion is, you know, it's the whole cancel culture thing, but it's, you see how that plays out with a totalitarian government when they have the power to just, in the moment, boom, the Celtics are gone. What bothers me about this is I can remember, like, this maybe marks my age, but I can remember being in school where it's like, you know, you need to go against the crowd. If you believe in something, you need to stand up for it, regardless of what the majority says. And now it's like, oh yes, except if it has to do with say COVID, or if it has to do with, well, any specific political majority opinion. Now it's like, oh, you can't object. Now it's disinformation or hatred or racism. You give it a label and then you erase people from the public eye, basically.
The thing that we should all be worried about is the reaction of the NBA and their commissioner not saying a thing. And this isn't the only team that has been effectively erased from the face of the earth because of Daryl Morey's comments last year about free Hong Kong. The Philadelphia 76ers games have not appeared on Chinese television since then. So now you have two teams for various different reasons, not even on a TV contract. This is all about money. This is all about the NBA not willing to stand up and have a backbone, and their business is being controlled by a government. Think about that frightening thought.
Well, it's not our,
that's
not
what
ours.
Happens here, too. I mean, right? Another way that we're seeing a bit of canceling is the cancelization of standards in school. The NCAA task force is recommending that standardized test scores should be removed because of racial inequity. So what?
I think that standardized testing should go away for plenty of other reasons. I think that our school system, since we founded the Department of Education, has not gotten better. In fact, by the numbers, it's gotten worse.
Because we teach to the test?
I mean,
every state does. Every state teaches to their respective test because that's where their grading is at, and that's where their pay comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten rid of a lot of, like, lifestyle or life skill classes that we used to have in high schools. So, I mean, if you ask me, we need
music,
to just get rid of the Department of Education because we were actually better before that. Shop, home ec, things where you, like, learn to cook, and, like, learn to build things or learn to work on cars or, you know, like, there's lots of things that we used to have that we got rid of all that.
Why do you need that if you can learn to protest?
there you go.
True. Protesting pays more. That's
ask a libertarian what he thinks about schools.
You've got to find the balance because you've got to push. It's up to the athletes as students to push to, in many cases, push themselves because they're not being pushed by this system. This system, the way that it is set up, the NCAA and the NCAA member institutions use sports to popularize their schools and make lots of money off of the kids. This is where the name, image, and licensing thing comes in. The kids actually getting something for their time. And this whole standardized test movement, let's get rid of it. What you're really saying is you're an athlete. You're not intelligent enough in a backhanded way to actually shoot for something and be competitive both on and off the court. So you're really insulting people's intelligence.
I think there's a point to that.
I think the other problem is that really you have football and you have men's basketball and then you have everything else. Mm-hmm. Like the majority of collegiate athletes, their track, their swimming, they're not making money for themselves. They're not making anything for the school. In fact, they need the football and the men's basketball to bring in these billions of dollars to support those. So we almost need two solutions, because while I agree that the football players, especially if you're at Alabama, you might be setting yourself up for an NFL career. But if you're at Mississippi, you're playing out there so you can have someone for Alabama to beat up and then you're done. And yet you've brought in billions of dollars for the NCAA and everybody else is making money. So I get the name, image, and likeness thing, but there's only a very small number of athletes that are going to benefit from that. The question is, if you treat those athletes like the employees of the university that they truly are, what do you do with the vast majority of athletes from the non-revenue sports?
Well, the other thing with the non-revenue sports, Brent, if we want to talk about that, that is our whole Olympic program in many different cases.
Yes.
So you're going to really turn this whole thing upside down. It's I've come to recently believe that I believe that universities should get out of the sports business, because I really believe that there are a lot of people involved in university education that are just using this as an advertisement form for their schools to popularize their schools, and they don't really care about what happens on the in the end.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen. That is just too big of a shakeup of a system. I mean, how would that ever be implemented?
If you look at how standardized tests are being used, when maybe we were going to school, you know, not quite back when Jesus was a boy, but almost, there was a lot riding on that, right? Your GPA was great, but it was more, what was your test score? You know, if you had a 32 on your ACT, but somehow you're pulling a 2.5, it was that 32 on your ACT that was going to get you financial aid and scholarships, not the 2.5. So there was a heavy reliance upon that. Now we've just shifted in the complete opposite direction. Instead of, all right, well, let's take a little less off the standardized test and start incorporating GPA and some other things into what you're supposedly, all this crap on your application that you're supposed to fill out is, and just let's get rid of standardized testing altogether. So there's a middle ground like anything else, but I think what going along with your cancel culture thing, let's just go ahead and cancel that, because over the last year, lower incomes don't have access to computers and internet. So if we just get rid of that, then we'll just make it all one big equitable thing. Plus, we'll forgive all the student loan debt that's out there. Thanks, Uncle Joe. So now where does that money go to? So it just adds into all the cancel culture thing. Let's give a free education. Let's give it so anybody can just walk in and get yourself a dorm room and a meal plan. And if you want to go to class, great. If you don't, fine, protest. We're still going to give you this piece of paper at the end of the day anyways.
That's good. And you know what? If we're all just dumbing down, it makes it easier for everyone. But that doesn't always play out on the field, does it? Where we still want to have excellence. So, gee, just saying there. One other thing that was kind of interesting in this week, or will be interesting, I guess you can't really see it, but I'm wearing my Kraken pants, and I got my Kraken hat over there.
If you're wearing a Kraken pants, you turn around and show us your butt and you get your Kraken out there.
Nope. This is a family show. So the Seattle Kraken are going to be playing their first home game. I will be there covering it, and I'm pretty excited about it. Hockey's really shaping up. Oh, and how about those Sabres? They're like the 4-1-1 on the Sabres. They're 4-0-0. That's been kind of interesting. Seattle, congratulations, as the Sounders are in the playoffs. And we've got things really heating up there with the MLS, tight races on both conferences. Decision day is December 7th. So some big things. Let's just throw it out there in the last few minutes before we take our final shot.
Well, the Kraken are looking forward to being at home. They're going to have that home ice advantage, a big 5-game road trip to try and get, you know, at the beginning to get Climate Pledge Arena in shape. And it's all going to be up to the guys to come and establish that home ice advantage. And Ron Francis and everybody in the administration, they're looking forward to this night. This mm-hmm. night's been 5-6 years in the making. Lewicki and all the boys at OVG, the OVU group, have done a great job. And unfortunately, this is the one bad thing. If you're not going to the game, you're only going to see it on CBC if you have cable, because it's on ESPN Plus.
Josh has been on top of how bad sports can be covered. I mean, this is huge. And what a disappointment for the people in the greater Seattle area. You should be able to watch your home team on television.
See, here, I was happy it's on ESPN Plus because I don't have cable and I have Disney Plus, and you can get that bundled in with it and Hulu. So I was glad it's on ESPN Plus because I can actually watch it.
Well, the great thing about the fact that it's going to be on CBC, one of the best sports programs in the entire world, Hockey Night in Canada, is going to be broadcasting this game. So we're going to get guys and people who really know something about hockey. It's going to be a great night for Seattle. And it's been a long time coming, and hockey is finally here.
I know.
Yeah, and I do want to say a little bit too, because I know a lot of people are already kind of freaking out the fact that they lost all but one game. They tied another on the road trip here. Pump the brakes a little bit. Something that a lot of people don't get, because I know we're new to hockey here. I'm fairly new to hockey. I've watched the Silver Tips and some of the other leagues before, but I've never been a huge NHL person before. But one thing you have to look at right now is, one, the Kraken, this is an all new team, all new guys that haven't played together, right, that are coming together, and their entire preseason all on the road. They did a tour around Washington State, and then their away games, so even their home games were all around the state. You know, they were everywhere. So they're traveling a bunch, did that. And then during the road trip, they were the only team at the time of their last game to play five games. The only team in the NHL, the only team to do all five on the road. And most of those games were the home openers for the teams they were playing against. So that was their first game against a weary road traveled team. So pump the brakes on them a little bit, give them some time, understand that it is going to take time to congeal. And they were really put in a position to fail in the first five games in that road trip here.
Okay.
But get behind them there at the stadium.
They had like five games in 8 days. And
the only team to do that this year.
And they had a COVID issue that came up like the day of their opening game. So they had guys showing up at the arena that they hadn't even practiced or had their preseason with. For their opening game. So, you know, I watched four of the five games, and other than
the Philadelphia game, they were in every single one of them.
Yeah, they did not suck. They did not suck. And that was exciting. Well,
they're a fun team to watch. They were gritty. When they got down, they came back. They kind of reminded me of the Mariners in that way, where it's going to take a while for them to come together. They're going to play a lot of one goal games, and we'll just see what happens.
I think
the fact that they're playing Vancouver at home is a good thing, because they've already beaten Vancouver in the preseason. Now, I'm not saying that the preseason translates over to the regular season, but these are guys that they are familiar with.
Yeah.
This is a team. They want to start that rivalry. We want to start that I-5 rivalry. Vancouver is only 250 miles away. We got to have somebody to hate in the NHL.
That's really tough, because most of us here in the Seattle area, that had to be our team. It was the closest. So having to say, oh, no, we hate the Canucks. Come on. That's really tough. Guys, it's time for our final shot. Let's take our final shot, and we'll start with Josh.
Man, what do you even give your final shot out to today? There's so much going on. So much going on in the sports world, and I will give it to, this is kind of a weird one, but I was thinking about this today, and they were talking about it on the radio a little bit, to Chris Hansen. You know, this was not the way he wanted it to go down, but I want to give him some credit, because he was close. He almost got us an arena down in Soto, and he really kept the momentum going, looking to get hockey and get basketball back here in Seattle. And I really wanted it in Soto. I really didn't want it at Key Arena again. I hate getting over to the Key Arena area.
Yeah, and for those who aren't privy to this.
Worst possible place.
For people who aren't privy to this around the world, Seattle had a battle of where the Kraken would play. They had a spectacular plan that was going to be in the district where the Seahawks play, where the baseball stadium is. It was economically sound, and for some reason they decided to put it in the middle of the city where there really isn't great access, great parking, and it cost a boatload to save a 50-year-old roof it had to be taken off in order to rebuild, this kind of a thing. So that's kind of the drama that you're coming into, Josh, for background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Hansen, he kept, for years, he kept the momentum alive to bring Sonics back and get these sports back into Seattle. So even though it didn't go his way, I do want to give him a shout out, because, you know, we're having our opening home game. And I really, even though the Leiwikis and the Oakview group are the ones that inevitably at the end got it done, it's, I think, in large part thanks to Hansen paving that road.
All right, Rich.
Well, I'm going to go again with the hockey motif, because this weekend the Seattle International Film Festival has events going on all year. Go to sif.net, look up a documentary called Willie. It is about Willie O'Ree, the first black man to break the color barrier in the NHL in 1958 for the Boston Bruins. It is playing this weekend. If you can't go to the Kraken game and you need a little hockey inspiration, go see that documentary.
And Wayne, you don't have subscriptions, so you can watch it at home.
Yeah, there you
really.
There
and
you
for
go.
Those of you who don't, you by go. The way, you can there's a, go to any sports bar, pub, or restaurant. You'll be able to watch it there. Brent Baker.
Well, I'm going back to our local Seattle flavor here. I'm going to go with Mitch Haniger for the letter that he put in the Players Tribune.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't, if you're in the Seattle area, if you've been following and suffering with the Mariners for 20 years, if that didn't get you fired up, you need to go read it. I mean, the guy is ready to keep on going. He's basically in a very assertive, but not necessarily damaging way, really challenging the front office to make the moves they need to, I'd say, complete this rebuild that's been going for about 3 years. But he's just, I think a lot of people that were just maybe not sold on what was happening with the Mariners. Once you saw the way he played this year, coming back from some unspeakable injuries and then starting to assert himself as a personality and seeing what he's about. The World Series is going on, but I'm looking forward to seeing some of our local flavor there in the next couple of years,
it.
I hope.
Matt Peel.
Yeah, you know, quick note on that too. Actually, yeah. Jerry DePoto talked about Mitch Haniger today on his show on 710 local broadcast here, and he said that, you know, he really believes Mitch Haniger wants to be here long term. So if you're a Mitch Haniger fan, some good news. I mean, it's nothing in stone, but it's looking really positive.
No, but
for
you can hear it in that piece you referred to, Brent, that he's bought in, and I like that. Matt Peel.
Oh, is this a local Seattle show? I was just wondering.
Shut up.
Yes.
That sounded like it. I thought so. So I'm going to give my shout out to something that's not local to anybody and something that we'd never cover on here, and that's called NASCAR. And I'm going to give my shout out to Rick Hendrick, owner of Kyle Larson's car. Kyle Larson was fired by Chip Ganassi last year for a little screw up on his language when he was doing some iRacing. And Chip Ganassi fired him instead of just reprimanding him and maybe fining him. He canned him. Cancel culture. Kyle Larson is now poised to win the NASCAR championship this year as the winningest driver this season and about to take home another championship for Rick Hendrick. So kudos to you, Rick Hendrick, for realizing you don't have to cancel and you can bring back people, and they are good people in the end.
Good shout out. And you know, good funny, yeah. I'm going NASCAR as well, Matt. And I'm going to give my shout out to Casey Kane. He got some praise this week. He did something pretty crazy and cool. He responded to a car crash on the way home. He was coming home from the World of Outlaws race, I believe, in Pennsylvania. I have a shot to show you here where there was a crash, two trucks, one pulling a trailer, one going the wrong direction. They crashed. He and some other folks rushed in, pulled the people out of these fiery vehicles. And he tweeted this: there was a tragic car accident on our way home from the races Saturday night. I just wanted to recognize all of the people who jumped in to help as quickly as they could until first responders arrived. My thoughts and prayers are with the families involved. I love that, because regardless of the controversies that we've talked about today, some of the craziness, the cancel culture, when the chips are down, he didn't stop and say, who did you vote for? Are you vaccinated? Or what team are you rooting for? That's the beauty of how we were created and how to love, where it really doesn't matter anymore. So that's my final shot today. And I want to give a shout out to the guys here on the table. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks for being part, taking time. And thank you for listening. You can go to My Michelle Live for more.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.